Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, everything's moved to the east a little bit. You know, we're calling for 4 to 8 inches of snow for tomorrow in our area. In the State College area, only a couple of inches of snow. But right now, something that is unweather-related that is affecting the Sunbury Motor Studio in State College is a power outage. So it's Bob Buehner and Kevin Herr in the Sunbury Motor Studio East, filling time, so to speak.
Well, the problem is the gerbils that were in the cage turning the generators up at State College apparently on strike this afternoon.
And I believe Steve Jones on the line with us right now from State College. Steve, can you give us a live report of what's going on right now? Wait,
The power is out everywhere. Now, the power is not out at the Jordan Center. Because the power is there. They have their own. For example, the show tonight at Damon's, for example, we're not sure yet what to do because as of right now, there's no power at Damon's. Obviously, there's no power here at the Sunbury Motors studio. You know, now, I went out and I had a long talk with the little mice and I told them, look, get back on the wheel and start moving.
Exactly.
Well, listen, the thing is, I wanted to make sure everybody knew this was not a Bob and Kevin coup of any sort. So,
No, I mean, I came out of the Jordan Center after doing the pregame show with Patrick. And as I'm coming down the hill, at the bottom of the hill, the police were at the bottom of the hill. No, it's not unusual for me to see police waiting for me.
No, exactly.
And you're like, I know I wasn't speeding. My taillights are good.
And all of a sudden I looked over, and the light was completely blank. Now, my first thought was, okay, something must be. I thought maybe there was an accident, something. And, okay, so now I make the left turn and go on to College Avenue and start working my way to my house. I only live you know how close I live, Bob, and you both have been.
Yeah, it's real close.
Two and a half miles from Beaver Stadium. And so I pull in, and all of a sudden I look down at the bridge going over 322 where there are three different lights there. Same thing, police officers directing traffic, and traffic really getting backed up. And I thought, I get into Lamont, lights out, then I get in here. And I didn't really think twice about it. I just go down into the Sunbury Motor Studio, and I park myself, and I'm looking around and go, well, by golly, it's all blank.
It seems a little darker than normal in here. I don't understand it.
So I mean, there's no time on my, you know, because I've got a digital clock that's on the board. Well, that's blank.
But how much cell battery do you have? That's the most important thing right now.
It turned out that for whatever reason, I charged this thing up before I
figured the power was out. Was it the second red light or until you got home?
Well, no. I figured the power was out, Bob, when I was driving down College Avenue. And, you know, I went through the first traffic light, and I thought maybe something happened. That's why that light was out. When I looked at the bridge over 322... College Avenue.
Right, know exactly where you are.
I looked at, and all three lights were out, and police were directing traffic. I said, uh-oh, there must be a major outage here.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, then, of course, then I came in here, and I didn't know whether I was affected or not.
Right.
Until I actually got here. And of course, you know, 2 days before Thanksgiving, perfect timing for America.
Yes.
They're loving it. Now, for me, I mean, it's no big deal. Obviously, but then I got a text from Jeff Tarman, and the text reads, "Major power outage. Damon's out. We'll let you know what we're doing."
Well, you know, the thing about Damon's is all they have to do is get the old charcoal cookers out in the parking lot outside Damon's and start getting those ribs ready for the 6 o'clock show.
Oh, they can, except the problem is there's no power to do the 6 o'clock show.
Other than that.
So we're going to have to come up with something. I don't know whether we'll do it at his office or what we'll do, because it used to be, I was telling Kevin, we used to have 3 different locations we could do the show. And the oddity is that if we really needed to do the show in the Sunbury Motor Studio for the entire network, we actually could.
Sure.
But again, my power's out. Now, the campus power is on, though. They're on a different grid. So we know we can do it on campus, but the wiring to do the show, they took out 3 years ago. And we haven't, you know, because we've done the show at Damon's now for 3 years. We used to do the show for football. There's a conference room that is off of the coach's locker room inside the Lash building. That's where we did it every Thursday night when Joe was the coach. All the shows starting with Bill O'Brien and Ben at Damon's. For basketball, we used to do the show for basketball in the basketball coach's conference room. Same story. It's adjacent to Patrick Chambers' office, and was at DeChelis' office before that. And that's where we did the show. We used to also do the show in sports information when Jerry Dunn was the basketball coach. And we had lines in all 3 of those places. Well, they took all the lines out in order to, because of the Damon situation, because we weren't using the other lines. Now, I don't know if we'll have to do the show maybe in the basketball broadcast booth tonight.
Ah.
That's certainly a possibility, but it'll be on during the women's games. I don't know. This is, once again, I'm in a position of being told where to be, what to do, and I am not in a decision-making spot.
Well, just point to me when I'm supposed to talk.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's a good position. Let somebody up the food chain make the call.
I mean, this is somebody else's call. Hey, look, between now and 6 o'clock, the power could come back. I mean, what is it, like 12 after 4 right now?
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, between now and then, the power could come back. Maybe through an act of God.
Okay. Well,
the only question I have, though, I'm kind of intrigued. Have you thought about how much money you're saving now by not having any power on, and is it worth it?
Well, it's also not exactly 75 degrees.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, you and I talked about this yesterday. You had talked about being in the booth at the Bryce Jordan Center anyway. Is this bad karma right now, or is this karma coming back to haunt us?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we had talked about me doing the show up there today.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have known, except for the text from Tarman, I never would have known. But, you know, we'd come up with a plan as to how to do today. And, okay, you know, so we came up with, because the bottom line is, if you run in there and try to set it up in there, I probably don't even get on to like 20 after 3. It just takes a while to set everything up. And I've never used the 4G before, so we all know I never would have gotten on.
Exactly.
You know, Kevin uses it all the time. Dude. It's like the back of his hand. I'm sitting there going, okay, now I put the red one into the red one. Really? Is that what I did?
I even color coded it for you. I mean, come on.
I suppose I could go back up there now and do it, but even then, when I get up there and do it 4:30, 4:35, I don't think it'd be worth it at that.
I'm just glad you charged up the phone. That's the important.
A bit of a challenge for people coming in to the Bryce Jordan, if all the traffic lights up and down College Avenue and Route 26, etc., are on the off mode for the next couple hours. That could get a little interesting in the traffic during the high traffic times.
Well, what's interesting about the campus, Bob, is that the students are gone.
Yeah.
They're not even here. So the dorms were already on partial shutdown to begin with. You know, enough heat to keep them heated. But the campus does have power. They're on a separate grid. So in other words,
is that from
Franklin
the
right now is sitting there getting his team ready to go to practice. In fact, I think they're going to start practice here in about 10 minutes. And they don't know the power's out.
Is that from the nuclear reactor that's on the Penn State campus that keeps things going, or is that? I'm just kidding.
That's a good question, Bob. I mean, they have their own power plant.
Yeah.
which is on the rec hall side of campus. And, of course, they have the Brazil nuclear reactor. But I don't know what kind of role the nuclear reactor plays. I mean, I just know that they've got a huge steel fence on it that if you try to climb it, you'll be impaled.
Exactly.
That part I do know. And, of course, I've never had any thought of climbing in there. I really don't want to go into a nuclear reactor.
No,
it has not been a thing to do on your to-do list, is that what you're saying?
No.
Not on the bucket list yet.
I've climbed Mount Nittany. Seeing the nuclear reactor? No, not real.
Fast. Thanks anyway.
So the Lions have a big game tonight.
The Lions are going to play at 5:30. They're playing St. Bonaventure. Then the men play at 8. I don't know if they ever sent Kevin out a listing of what time the game is, but the game's at 8. We're on at 7:30.
Yeah, that's so the last thing I heard as well.
The original listing said 7:30. And And then we're all set on dinner on Friday night.
We are, I know.
That's all set. We've got a great spot we're going to be going to. And we will be as obnoxious as people expect us to be.
Well, that goes without saying, so we don't even need to say that.
We have a reputation to uphold.
And, you know, it's interesting because right now the Bison are out in Ohio. I think they're playing a team called Dayton. It's actually a pretty good team. And so that'll be a tune-up for them for Friday's game as well as the Lions tonight at the Bryce Jordan.
Well, Akron's very good. Keith Dambrot, who, by the way, was LeBron James' coach in high school, he's Akron's coach. And there are only 12 teams in the country that have won 20 games or more in each of the last 9 seasons. Akron's one of the 12. The guy's a really good coach. Now, his best player is not available tonight. His best player, Tree Treadwell, is in some legal hot water right now.
Ah.
He was accused of an assault on campus, I think, November 16th, and they're still investigating it, and as they investigate it, he's suspended. He's a guy that could have put up a double-double really any time. Forsythe, the center, is very, very good. He's not a great player, but he's very good, and he's the kind of guy that gets you 8-9 points a game, gives you 6 or 7 rebounds a game. Cheatham, number 2 on the wing, is a 6-9 guy off the wing.
Wow.
And, wait a minute, there's signs of life. Hold on. Signs of life.
Lights are coming on.
So the lights, are you seeing blinking of the lights?
I think there was an attempt.
So you saw a Steve, don't go to the light. Don't go to the light.
A lot of people for years have been begging me. We're still in a hole.
Oh, darn. Back in the black hole of Calcutta.
They're still waiting. I'll run downstairs now. And and then they have a freshman point guard who's very good. Played very well down in Charleston. You got to remember, believe it or not.
Really?
The last game of the trip. Yeah. And everybody's playing somebody on the other side of the bracket, and Penn State's playing Akron tonight. So actually, this is the last game of the Charleston tournament. So it's part of – is this how you end up getting extra games out of it?
Yeah.
And you end up getting extra games because Penn State will end up playing 31 regular season games because of the Charleston class, because there's a couple of exempt games in there. And then they'll roll this. Then they'll play Bucknell, obviously, on Friday. So when they get to the tournament, the Big Ten tournament will be a 32nd game of the year. Like I said, good freshman point guard, really good. Cheatham up front, really good. Forsythe, not bad. By not having Treadwell, it takes away a big rebounder for Akron. And it also, it also cuts a bit, just a bit into their depth. And that's the other part too. They played decently down in Charleston. I think they finished 3rd. But Miami not only beat them, but I mean beat them. I mean, Miami beat them pretty good, as a matter of fact, like 79-51. The other games, they did pretty well. I mean, they won their games in there. They beat USC. They beat South Carolina. So not bad.
Yeah, and Penn State, really, I thought, Steve, in the tournament kind of up and down. I mean, they were behind one team by 17 points, come roaring back, tie it, and then lose it in, what, double overtime.
Right.
And then they come, they play, you know, Southern Cal, and obviously, you know, a Pac-12 team or Pac-10 team, known to be pretty good, and they beat them. So which Penn State team's going to show up tonight?
Well, this is where they need to be better. They need to be better in three different areas right away. Number one, they need to be a better rebounding team. You really don't want to give up more than 9 offensive rebounds in a game. They gave up 29 offensive rebounds to USC.
Oh, boy.
29. I mean, that's a sieve. So that's got to change. Okay. Next part is they need to be better fundamentally on defense, especially when they're playing their zones, guys. When they're playing their zones, they're not doing a good enough job of getting the spots, and they're not doing a good enough job of closing and finding the ball when they're in zone. And the third part is they need to find a consistent third scorer. Neubel's doing his deal. To his credit, Shep Garner's doing his deal. If they can get Brandon Taylor or Ross Travis to be that consistent third scorer, or maybe even John Johnson off the bench, he would give them a world of opportunity here to really make some hay before they get into the Big Ten schedule. So they've got to be fundamentally better on defense, especially in their zones. They need to be far better on the glass, without question. They need to be far better on the glass, and they have to limit the number of second-chance opportunities the opponent gets. And then they need to find that consistent third scorer, because they have two really good ones that are established right now that you really can count on points almost every night. Finding that third guy is something that you have to look around at a given night at the court and say, okay, is it this guy's night?
Didn't people think that maybe this would be Travis, be that third guy coming into the season?
Well, that's a good question, because you know what? Ross Travis, he's definitely a better player than he was last year. He's a better player than he was the year before. But you still expect more out of Ross. I expect more out of Ross. I expect him to be a 7-8 rebound a game guy. I expect him to be a 10-12 point a game scorer. Now, did I just say be a 20-10 guy? No. I said be an 11-12 point guy and be a 7 or 8 rebound guy. My numbers are not pie in the sky for a guy that has a lot of athletic ability and a guy that can move and jump through the gym. And so they need that. But I think the number one option is a third scorer, Bob. I list Ross as a fourth option.
Okay.
My top third option would be Brandon Taylor. And he has not been able to find his range yet shooting the three. And not only that, surprisingly, he has not stroked the ball well at the free throw line. He's only 3 of 7 so far. And this is a guy that, you know, when you watch them practice late game situations, they very much want to get the ball into his hands, because this is a guy that was nearly a 90% free throw shooter last year. Even yesterday in practice, when they started doing the free throw deal, he missed the first three he took. And they're all online, all right there, but I think he's fighting it a little bit right now. And he needs to break out of it and hit a streak here where he's scoring anywhere from 10 to 15 points in a game and also knocking down, you know, 3 or 4 free throws a game in 3 or 4 attempts.
Well, Steve, we're going to take a time out here, and I know earlier in the day you had a chance to catch up with Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We'll have that coming up in the next half hour.
Well, I mean, or we can keep chatting. We'll run Jeff tomorrow.
I mean, well, you know, I just want to make sure your battery doesn't run dry. I mean, that's
what I'm worried about.
My
battery's not going to run dry.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Fine.
There are some Bucknell players that have made the All-Patriot League team. I'll share that with you coming up as well.
I saw that, and congratulations to Joe, who justifiably was the Patriot League Coach of the Year. And that, Bob, lets Kevin know that I actually do read his emails.
Ah.
Yeah, the ones that are actually, you know, that have all that kind of information. It's my 3-sentence emails that tell him what's going on that he just ignores normally. Or when I ask for something.
Well, it's good to know the delete button still works.
Oh, it's amazing that the stuff you can skip through.
Exactly. It's funny now, though. He can't say that, "I'm sorry, the power was out, so I couldn't get your email." Now I know he gets his email even when the power's out. Hey, do you need us to call PPL? Are you all good to go? Or
We're West Penn.
Well.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry. We have no connections there. You're on your own, brother.
I mean, fortunately for me right now, there's just enough sunshine.
You've got 15 minutes.
Through here without falling flat on my face.
It couldn't have been yesterday when it was like 70 degrees outside, could it? No.
You got 15 minutes of daylight remaining, my friend, before trying to get up the steps to the first floor is going to be treacherous.
Well, I'll tell you, no, in certain terms. Here's a big part for me right now, is that, yeah, it's going to snow tomorrow. Okay? Fix it.
Yes.
I'd like a little warmth before that happens.
We'll have okay. More. I got a fireplace that I'm considering. Let's give it a little roll here, see what we got.
When was the last time you actually had a fire in the fireplace that was real and not a fake one?
It's Halloween.
Oh, well, there you go. You know it still works then.
No.
You're good to go.
No. We use it. We use it a lot.
You've got a few trees out back. You're fine.
Steve, you...
We got plenty of wood. That's not an issue. I mean, so when it comes to that, I mean, if there's any issue into the evening, believe me, the fireplace will be going.
Although you won't have to worry about thawing out the turkey in the freezer because it would be already thawed out for you by Thanksgiving.
I think everybody knows. I'm alone for Thanksgiving
this
year, so it's not, and I've had so many offers from people. I said, no. What I'm going to do on Thanksgiving Day is I'm going to go to football practice in the morning, get the pregame with James, then I'm going to get on the bus and I'm going to go with the basketball team over to Bucknell on Thursday, and just watch practice with them, get the pregame with Patrick, then come back. Then I'm going to drive back on Friday to do the game. So I've got, it'll be actually for me relaxing. I've got plenty to do. I actually have legitimate work to do.
And a hungry man dinner. What more could you ask for?
I don't know what I'm going to do about that. I'll order out from someplace, which will be fine. And I'll sit down and watch the Niners and the Seahawks or whatever, or, you know, put in a Christmas movie, you know, Kevin Hurd does Christmas, whatever.
Well, we could always join up on Thanksgiving night and do some early Black Friday shopping if you'd like. I mean, if you're really bored. Yeah, that's what I thought. I think the power went out in Steve's phone after that one. We'll have more
just the power in my mind.
We'll have more from the rather dark Sunbury Motors studio coming up here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Little did we know that the call we would be taking on the toll-free line at 800-795-9565 would be that of Steve Jones, who is in the very dark Sunbury Motor Studio right now. And the question on everybody's mind, Bob Buehner and Steve, is what does Steve Jones do in a power outage?
Well, I'm going to football practice as soon as I'm done here.
You're getting out of Dodge.
I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm the only one here, you know. And, you know, like I said, if I get back here at 10:30 tonight, which is about the time I'll be done, because this is, after all, Steve Jones Tuesday.
It is.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. I almost forgot about that, too.
Steve.
Yeah, I'm not done until about 10:30. If it's still like this when I get back, I'll put a fire in the fireplace, and we'll go from there.
Steve, I have one word of importance for you. Candles. Light candles
yes.
tonight.
But I would not recommend multiple scented candles.
No, not
because that would
ones.
Not work well no. all over the house.
Obviously, another failure in your life.
Hey, you mentioned it earlier. Some really good news for Bucknell. They had one of their best seasons, actually the best season in nearly two decades. Evan Byers was recognized as the Defensive Player of the Year. Fifth-year head coach Joe Susan, as you mentioned, Coach of the Year. On the first team, wide receiver Will Carter, offensive lineman Julian Davenport, offensive lineman Lonnie Rawls, Demetrius Baldwin Youngblood, who I call DBY because it's just easier to say than all those names. Byers and Lee Marvel also were on the defensive side of the ball. C.J. Williams at running back, Abdullah Anderson at defensive line, Clay Yule at safety, all on the second team. It was just a well-deserved honors by a group of guys that have played so very well. And you know what, Steve? And this is what I talked about with you the other day, and also after the Bucknell loss to Colgate with Doug Birdsong. This is a very young team yet. There are a lot of guys. I know there's a lot of seniors that are leaving, but there's a lot of guys that are coming back, too, on the core of this offense and defense.
And great news, Doug Birdsong, first team all-conference announcer. Kevin, honorable mention.
I was happy with honorable mention. They said there was no third team. If there was, I would have easily made it.
It's just sad, Bob, isn't it?
It is.
Sad.
Hey, and news out of Bloomsburg is that the Bloomsburg Huskies will be hosting the Division II Region 1 playoff game, semifinal playoff game, taking on Virginia State, the Trojans, from the southern part of the Northeast region. Virginia State comes in 10-2, and the Huskies are 10-1 and ranked 14th in the country. That'll be Saturday
right.
noon kickoff.
That's great. Now, hey, Bloomsburg has a fabulous program. I give them a lot of credit. You know, you think about it. I mean, the way Bucknell's played, the way Bloomsburg's played, great. And Penn State will get there, you know, obviously on their way back with all this stuff that they've had to deal with here, obviously. You know, it's been interesting. It's been interesting listening to comments the last few days. And I realize that each game is a test unto itself. And I realize that each game brings with it a certain emotion. They win, they play well, there's joy and happiness. They don't win the game, you don't feel like they play well, it brings with it sadness, anger, you know, and it creates that week-by-week emotion one way or the other. And you look at Kevin, he won't even watch the Steelers anymore.
It's true.
Well, and, I'm starting to watch them again, but I'm sure that'll all turn against me this weekend.
Yeah, I love the optimism. It's really, I mean, exactly the kind of guy you want to be in a foxhole with. And you know, when you look at the week-to-week emotion, I think sometimes because of how you feel in the moment, you can lose sight of the big picture. And when James Franklin took the job, it was a big-picture outlook. Does he have tunnel vision week by week by week by week? Absolutely. Does he go through the emotions that you go through as fans week by week by week? Yes, he does. But at the same time, there's also a big picture element to this. And in the big picture, I can assure you in no uncertain terms that he knows exactly where he wants to go, but better than that, he knows exactly how to get there. He does have a plan, and he's just in the initial stages of implementing that plan. Big picture-wise, they're going to be fine. They've been dealt, obviously, a hand that makes the week-by-week short-term outlook a roller coaster, and that's in part because of the hand that's been dealt. Do you make a mistake during the game as a player that may swing it one way or the other? Yes. Do you have an inconsistent game that swings it one way or the other? Yes. Do you make a coaching move that might not work out and they end up losing the game? Yes. That's because the margin of error is so thin, thus these things become far more magnified. But there's a big picture aspect to it, and that's why you do not judge a coach or a coaching staff based on 11 games. You base it on, okay, give me a body of work. Let's see where this thing is in the fourth year. And in the fourth year, if they're still doing the same thing in the fourth year, now I think we all should convene a roundtable as to what's going on. I'm completely confident that by the time they get to that fourth year, he will have things implemented in such a way where Penn State is a major threat in the conference to win the division and to put itself in the conversation as to which one of those teams do you think will play in the conference championship game. I think in this division between Ohio State and Michigan State, I think Penn State's the one that joins that group to make it a big three competing week in and week out in this division. I'm not so sure Michigan gets there, guys. I'm not so sure. They have 7 years' worth of mediocrity and damage that's been done along the way in that program that might be very hard for them to overcome. And I don't think there's going to be a coach that can come in there with a magic wand, wave it, and say they're going to be fine. I think they've had setbacks along the way, which I think is going to, despite the fact they have great facilities, despite the fact that they have a great reputation, a deep storied history and tradition, which I respect, by the way, very, very much, I think the road back for them is not going to be one that's smoothly paved. They may very well get back there, but I'm not so sure it's going to be smoothly paved. I think with this guy and his staff, the way they go about their business with that natural enthusiasm, that passion, which I like very much and respect very much, it pays off. What I don't like is that I think sometimes criticism can get a little personal. I think, wasn't there a USA Today piece, was it Monday maybe, on their website? And they were listing, I can't remember what the list was. It was something to the effect of, basically that James Franklin had, came in with all this optimism and the whole thing, and, the Energizer buddy and so forth, and they're 4-0 and the expectations, and, people are now wondering if he's all talking. He's 11 games in, right? He's recruited half a class. Okay. Give him a couple of recruiting classes. Let him settle into what he wants to do and use the facilities and everything that Penn State has to offer its academics to his complete advantage. Then I think it becomes proper to judge. I do understand the weekly judgment because each week brings with it a test. And each week brings with it, obviously, an opportunity as to, what kind of coaching staff are they, how do they handle this, this, and this. But, again, when you're in a situation where your left tackle goes down and you don't insert the second-team left tackle, you take the first-team right tackle and make him your first-team left tackle, and you take your center and you make him your first team right tackle, and then you put the backup center in there, and that's how you fill the breach. That should scream volumes about where you are and that you are not, quote, in a normal situation. And they are not in a normal situation. And I always have to remind myself to make sure that I'm understanding the entire time of what's going on within the immediate picture, what's going on in the big picture. And this is a situation where everything that has happened here over the last 3 years is supposed to drive the product into the turf. Remember, the goal of all these sanctions is to make Penn State football irrelevant. That's what they were supposed to do. We'll teach you a lesson, and we'll teach you but good. Okay, well, the lesson is we're going to take this away, this away, this away, this away, and guess what? You know, it's going to take you forever to recover. Some people thought it would take Penn State, if the sanctions had gone through all the way, 9-10 years to recover. I think now, obviously, with the givebacks, and I think there are certain reasons why that they felt they had to do givebacks, because...
Oh, let's say a little litigation.
Things are unraveling a bit.
Yes.
And aren't the way that... It's not... It's amazing what time does. Time gives you perspective, and slowly but surely, sometimes time brings with it shards of the truth coming out, not in big bundles. Okay, you know, it seems like in this case the truth comes out as single spies and not as battalions. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin liked that. He's like, really? It's philosophical.
I got to write that down. Is what I was thinking.
But that's how it's come out so far. And so they've done, quote, givebacks, right, rollbacks. Well, that can accelerate the process, but I also think another major accelerator for Penn State in the process is James Franklin. And that's where I think, that's where I see things right now. So there are two pictures. Picture number one is the short-term picture. How we evaluate on a week-by-week basis. You know, pro, con, plus, minus, liked, didn't like, you know, love they did that, quote, what are they doing with that? Right. So that's week-by-week. But that's only a temporary situation. Now you ask yourself, where are things headed long-term? Because he was not hired to do week-by-week in 2014, I mean, even though it's part of it, but he was hired with the idea of, right, this will be the long-term solution for Penn State football. I'm around them every day. In fact, I'm going over there now as soon as we're done. And you watch how they teach, how they communicate, how they go about their business, what they're attempting to implement, and you can tell on a day-by-day basis they know exactly what they're doing. It's now a question of having all the parts fall into place for them, which means current execution, but at the same time also means long-term depth of the program, where now you can really challenge people to do things exactly, you know, in other words, they're in a situation now where, you know, the depth is in such a way where they don't have a lot of options. And so you have to keep going with the current options that you have. Well, once you get to a normal situation, if there's something you're not completely happy about, well, you can go to another option.
You know, Steve.
Right, go ahead, Bob.
One of the flip sides of that is this. It would have been very easy for the vast Penn State fan base, sometimes called Nittany Nation, to have basically given up on all that has occurred over the last 3 years.
No question. I totally agree with this point you're making. Go ahead.
I love it that the fans are so passionate about their Lions, and that they use that kind of a possessive pronoun, their Lions, that they're nitpicking coaching decisions. I love that because it says the passion never left. And if things happened on Saturday's game, like misjudging where to put the return man on the kickoff, and right, no one said anything about it, that would be very disappointing, because right, that meant that the fans had quit on the team and quit on the program for a whole variety of reasons. But the passion is strong. I think James Franklin, to his credit, reignited that. Bill O'Brien sustained it.
Yeah.
And James Franklin caused the flame of passion to increase. So the more the fans criticize, the more I'm saying, hey, they're engaged. They care passionately about this team.
Yeah, the only time I don't want to engage is when it becomes personal.
Yeah, and I don't think it has, except for the loonies and the nuts that are out there that weren't involved initially to begin with. But you know, there are those people that the internet has given a voice, an anonymous voice to.
Oh.
And all of that.
But I appreciate, you know, the people on the message boards and things like that. I have no issue with them. I've talked many times about one of the great things is the passion, because if people aren't posting, they don't care about your product.
Exactly.
And I feel exactly as you do, and I think I've stated it many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't hurt to have someone in my position that says, look, I understand week by week, nitpick, but remember there's a big picture element to this too. And to remind everyone that when you have 64 recruited scholarship players, you're one above an FCS team. I almost chuckled yesterday when Joe Susan was talking about, you know, we're only allowed to bring in 15 guys. Remember he said that in the show? I thought to myself, know that feeling.
Well, and how many times have we made that comparison over the last several months alone? That's what you have to remember. You're playing full complement FBS football with basically the same amount of scholarships as a North Dakota State, a Bucknell, or most of the FCS.
I mean, Penn State's essentially been at that level for 3 years now, guys.
And have been competitive.
21-14. But again, like I said, I felt Penn State 64 is better than Illinois 85.
Yeah.
Still, Penn State has more talent than Illinois does.
Well, Steve, we're hoping that everything gets squared away here in time for the coaches' show, and especially by tomorrow. You'll be back with us tomorrow here on the Steve Jones Show. But coming up, I want you to listen closely, because PPL has some winter prep tips that you may need here before the night's over.